Today's daf is daf Kuf Vav, 4 days of the Omer, Tavshin Samachtet. We're learning Masechet Babakama, 9th Perek, Hagozel Itzim. And yesterday, Rav Sheshet came up with a very big chiddush, and that is that the moment that someone is kofar on a pikadon, even before he makes a shvua, he immediately becomes a gazel, not a pikadon. It doesn't matter whether previously it was a shomer chinam, a shomer sachar, whatever he was, he automatically becomes now chayev beyond a sin. And he's got a kinyan gazela on it, and it's all over for him. Anything happens to that thing, he's going to be responsible. Ask the Gemara today, on the first line of Kufav, the Omar Ilfa, I thought that Ilfa taught that a shvua is kone. Now I assume that that means that only someone who swears that he doesn't have something is kone with the kinyan gazela. To be chayev bonasim. So it's shvua with the kanya, aval kvira lo kanya. Only the shvua. This is the point at which you're kone, but just the fact that you said that you don't have it, that's not enough to be kone it, and you remain a shomer till such time as you did something like a shvua to protect yourself from needing to give it back. Well, says the Gemara, as we said yesterday, there's a big difference between someone who's kofer, a pikadon, when the pikadon is embarrassingly in an agam somewhere, then now you're going to have to spend a couple days finding. And there we assume that when you said you don't remember, what you really were trying to do is buy time. You're going to come back after you find it out, find the para free ranging, you're going to come back and say, oh yeah, now I remember. It was in my barn the whole time. And the case that Rav Sheshet was talking about, where the para actually was there and he claimed it wasn't his guide. Where over there, indeed, he would have been kainet right then and there as a goslin. That's one approach. The other approach is instead of changing the case, is to change the meaning. When Ilfa said Shvu'a Kona, you know what that means? Shvu'a Kona, like a fantastic Kiddush, which Rav was quoted as saying by Ravuna. Ker Ravuna, the Omer Ravuna Omer Rav, somebody comes to a man to whom he had given a pikadon, and he said, Manali biyadecha, you owe me $100. And this guy says, I don't know what you're talking about. Halo Omer inlecha biyadi, vinishba. The guy swears to that effect. The acharkach bo edim, now edim come and say that actually he has that money. The guy does not have to pay that money anymore, astoundingly, patur. Why? It's gzerat hakatuv. The Torah says, Shvuat Hashem tiye ben shnehem, im lo shalach yado bim lecher reyehu, velakach ba'alav, the ba'alim takes the shvuah, velo yishalim. The guy doesn't have to pay. So once the ba'alim agrees to accept the person's title with the shvuah, despite the fact that it was a lie, and it's discovered to be a lie, the guy doesn't have to pay. Maybe that's what Ilfa meant. Now, we're going to discuss this, obviously, coming up. But maybe that's what Ilfa meant when he says that a shvua is kona. Not that a shvua is the point at which a kona v'chiyeh for onasim, but rather the shvua is kona for the shomer, whatever the case is, we'll see later, that he doesn't have to pay. Maybe that's the meaning. Let's look into that strange psak. Gufa. Omer v'no merab. Manali bi'adecha. Bahalo Omer ein lecha biyadi klum, v'nishba ubo edim patur. Shneamar v'lakach ba'alav v'lo yishalem. The moment that the Baalim accepted a shvua, kivan shekiblo Baalim shvua, at that point it's in lieu of the cash. And shuv ein mishalmim mamon. Omar Rava, I mean if this makes any sense at all, I can't believe that it would possibly mean that if a guy borrowed your car, and the car is in his garage, he doesn't have to give back your car. I mean, I understand maybe if he borrowed money since the money is not here anymore. I mean, so it's Mistavra Milta de Rav that Rav was referring to a case where the guy borrowed money. Since the money was given Lohotza'adit, that's not here. So the Torah is saying that there's a Gzerata Katuv, you wanted a Shvua, you got a Shvua. But I mean, a Pikadon? It's Bereshuti de Marikai. I mean, it's yours. What's the difference if it's in his garage? It's in the Reshut of the owner. But by God, Elohim, Amar Rav, afil v'pikadon? Rav was clearly referring to a pikadon, because if you take a look at the pasuk that he quoted, Shvuat Hashem tiye ben shnehem, im lo shalach yado bim lechet reyehu. That's referring to a pikadon, because ki k'tiv krabit pikadon k'tiv. That's what the pasuk was referring to. I mean, it's just astounding. So Yosef Reb Nachman, the Karmel HaShemayt, the Reb Nachman was repeating over Rav's ma'amar, and Rav Acha ben Binyomi pointed out to Reb Nachman that Rav's Ma'amar is totally insupportable. Just read the Mishnah that we had. Heichan Pikdoni. A guy says, we're going to come to this Mishnah again. We quoted it before. Heichan Pikdoni. A guy says, where's the thing I gave you? Omar Le. Oh, dear. It's lost. Avad. Mashbiacha Ani. Obviously, if he says Avad, he's going to be put. We're talking about Shomer Chinam. Mashbiacha Ani. And he accepts the Shvuah. V'yamarami. Come along witnesses, and the Edim Meidim Otosha Achlo. It's lost, all right, in his belly. Mishalem et hakeren. Says Beferish, he pays. And if he was Moda Miatzmo, he pays Karen and Chomesh and Osham. How does Rav get away with saying that he doesn't pay? Says Reb Nachman, I'll tell you. It's talking about over here, Hokmei Eskinan, Gagosh and Ishba, Chutz LeBeidin. The Pasuk was referring to a case that it says that Ada Elohim, they come to the Beidin. The Beidin is Mashbiah, and that's a whole different thing. What we're talking about over here is the guy gets up, he makes a Shvuah. Not that the Beit Din made him make a shvuah. That's not the shvuah the Torah was referring to. And indeed, in such a case, he would have to pay. Even Rav agrees he has to pay. So it's talking about he was nishbar chutz le Beit Din. Omar Lei, so Rav Acha bar Yumi said to Rav Nachman, that argument's not going to hold water because continue eating. Hema Seifa. Next case is, as opposed to here where the guy said it walked away and it's lost, the next case says, Echan Piktoni, and he says, Nignat, it was stolen. As we know, we learned out Gzerot HaKatuv before from the Pesukim, that if a Shomer claims that there was a loss, he pays like anybody else for the Pikadon. But if he claims that there was a burglary, then in effect he is the burglar. And in the same way, he is the imaginary burglar. So he has defined for himself a status of being a burglar. And just like a Ganav would pay Kefa when he is found to be lying, he will pay kefa. Okay, now the Mishnah continues with that case. As a contrast to a Torin Tanat Avad. Here's a Torin Tanat Ganav. There's only one problem. So, Eva said, Eche Bigdori Amar Lo Nigna. Mashbiachani Amar Amin. Va'edem Eidim Eto that he's the one that was Ganvo. Mishalem Tashulme Kefa. If he's Hodem Yatzmo, Mishalem Kerem V'chom Mishvasha. Now, how could he be Mashbiach Chutz L'Beit Din? V'yisak Adai B'chutz L'Beit Din. You're going to try to tell me the same answer. How in the world would there be a din of Tashlume Kefel, where over there, he was the one that was Mashbiya on his own outside, because he went ahead and was Mashbiya on his own. There's no Tashlume Kefel. So how are you going to, now you can't tell me it's talking about there was Nishba Chutz LeBeitin on my lay. I could tell that the Reisha is referring to Chutz LeBeitin, and the Seifa is talking about in Beitin. Okay, but I know, I mean, you wouldn't be able to disprove it now, would you? Okay, but I'm not going to torture you. I'm not going to tell you something that's going to make you nauseous. But I'm going to be good to you. I'm not going to tell you lies. Okay. But I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to tell you, actually, Ine ve'ine is talking about bibetin. It's talking about that it was in Beitin. But the thing is, there's two different cases. One is talking about bikafats. One is talking about, in the Reisha, it's talking about, that over there, he himself was jumped up and said, I swear that I never did that. Before the Beit Din was Mechayevim. Rav was talking about where the Dayanim were Mechayevim in the Shvuah. Not that he jumped up and made the Shvuah on himself. Because that's what the Pasuk is talking about. Now obviously the Sefer cannot be talking about that he was Kafatz. Because if he was Kafatz on his own, Kefal is only where the Shvuah Dayanim. And over here there was no Shvuah Dayanim. But the Reish is talking about kafats. Now, that's not so bad, is it? I mean, to tell you what is in court, what is out of court, yes, that's bad. But to tell you that the Seif is talking about where he was in kafats, that's not so bad. Now, you'll say, okay, but then you're left with the question. According to Rav, why would he be Mishalim Tashlume Kefal? I mean, he's not even Mishalim Karen, according to Rav, right? Once the guy accepted the Shvuah, so what good is it to you? You're left with the same question. No. Because we're going to see later on that Rav was not referring to a case of Toyin Tanat Ganav. He was only talking about a case where it was Toyin Tanat Avad. In the case of Toyin Tanat Ganav, Rav is made it, that since it says Beferish in the Pasuk that he pays Kefal, obviously the Kefal includes Karen. And it's only talking about where Adam came, because if it was made it, then there is no Tashlame Kefal. So there Rav had no choice but to admit that the Lakach Ba'ala V'lo Yishalem was not referring to that case, as we're going to see later on. Says Rabbi Bachom to Rav Nachman, you know, you've been giving all of these tirutzim, taking out a mortgage on your soul, you know. Mirta, I know perfectly well that you don't believe Rav Drasha for a minute. You told me so. So, Mashkuni Navshecha de Rav Lamalecha, why are you mortgaging your soul for Rav, saying all of these weird tirutzim, just to make things work out according to Rav, when you don't even think the Rav's right? On my leg, well, I mean, it's an Indian to be Mepharish the way Rav would understand it, isn't it? I mean, it's true, I don't believe it. But I mean, Leferusha LeRav, I'm explaining to you. The Rav, this is the way that Rav would have explained the Mishnah. But, you know, I want to know how you can argue on Rav. I mean, now that you're willing to tell me that you've got an approach that works out of the Mishnah for Rav, I mean, Rav said it's a pasuk, and it sure sounds like he's right. It says, V'lakach ba'alav v'lo yashalem. What does that mean? Doesn't it mean he has to accept the Shvuah, and the man will not subsequently pay? Ah, said Rav Nachman. No, the pasuk means something else entirely. V'arav kro ka'amar, amar lei. I'll explain to you the pasuk. Kro l'kol ha'nishba'im shebatorah, nishba'im v'lo mishalmim hu de'at. The pasuk is coming to tell me a rule that if somebody swears midyoraita, that swearing is to potter him from paying. But you never swear and use the swearing as a mode of taking money. So the meaning of the pasuk is this. V'lakach ba'alav v'lo yishalem. In other words, mish alav l'shalem. It's the guy who would otherwise have paid, who now offers the shvua in lieu of payment. Who? Shenishba. But there's never a case where the ba'alim will be nishba and then take the money. That's what the pasuk is coming to tell me. It certainly is not coming to tell me something is absurd. As Rav suggests, now, once you accept a shvua, you no longer get your car back. Oh, that's crazy.
It's only defensive.
Masiv Rav. Okay, says Rav Amdana. Let me show you this case. Hishbi alav chamisha pa'amim. A guy has somebody swear on the same debt 5 times. Okay? Now, it doesn't say Hishbiya that he swore. It says Hishbiya alav, which means that the make him swear. And he was makabel on himself now. The shvua, 5 times. And it doesn't matter whether it was bifnei bezdin. Doesn't matter whether it was shalom bifnei bezdin. Okay? The guy denies it 5 times. He has to pay on every single one of those shvuas. If he goes ahead now and he is made, he's going to have to pay the chomesh and the asham 5 times. Now, explains Rabbi Shimon, how could he possibly pay 5 times if he already potred himself with the first time? The second shvua was no longer shvua on kirat mamon. Explain, Rabbi Shimon. You know why? Because since he could have gone ahead and been moda, right? Now, if he had been moda, he would have had to pay. Instead, he says, no, I don't admit that I owe it. And he swears again. Now, that means that if it wouldn't be for the fact that he could be moda and chayev, which of course, according to Rav, is impossible, even if you were moda, you wouldn't be chayev. And what are you going to try to tell me? Well, but here it's talking about kafatz. No, don't try that one. Hocha kafatz lo matzidavet. You can't give me the answer you gave me before that Rav was only referring to a shvua that we forced him to take. Because it says ovir beferish, okay? It says hishpia alav, right? You made him swear. And don't try to tell me either the Teretz he gave before. That's talking about he took it outside of Beit Din. Chutz of Beit Din also lo mitzadamrit. It said beferish. Baby, fnei Beit Din, mitzalo beferish. So don't give me that one either. Now I've got you in a corner. You got nothing to say. And it says over here, it's a shvua on kfirat mamon, which according to Rav, there's no mamon that's possible. Because even if he admits that he owes it, he doesn't owe it. Now I dare you to answer that one. Hum motiv lo hum mefarik lo. Well, he asked it, but he pulled it apart. He said, maybe. Now, there's one way to get out of it. The way to get out of it is like this, that the cases over here are actually meant to exist side by side and not as a series. So it's litzdodim katani. Cases we're speaking in parallel. Meaning, hishbia alav. The first, the opening, where it uses the word, you made him swear. That was referring to the case where it's the chutz lebeitin. Then it says, bein bebeitin. Ah, bein bebeitin. That would have to be talking about where you didn't force him, where he jumped up and said it himself. So in other words, Rav, remember, we've already established, was only saying, A, the Beit Din had to be the ones that were doing the Shvua, and B, they had to be the ones that were forcing the Shvua, not that the guy jumped up and took it in the Beit Din. So that way, this bright will work out according to Rav. Mativ Rava, Rava asks from the following, Ba'al HaBayit, Shita'anta Anat Ganav V'Pikadon. And then come along, and he takes a Shvua, and then he's Modeh. Edim come along and say that he stole. So now, if he was moda, imat shalo bo'edim hoda, he's mishalim keren v'chomish v'ashem. If mishaboedim hoda, he's mishalim tashulmei kefal v'ashem. He still needs the asham to be mechaper on, but he doesn't pay a chomish because kefal already subsumes the chomish. It's double. Now, what are you going to say here? You can't say it's talking about chutz lebezdin. You can't say it's talking about kafatz because then there wouldn't be any kefal. And it does say kefal. So you see clearly that Rav is wrong. Says over here, the guy pays when he made a shvua. Hello, Amar Rava. Well, of course. Kol hoda. If a guy is moda, then he made a shvua. Of course. We're not, Rav wouldn't have said that. There it wouldn't matter if he was moda. I don't care what he said. I don't care. if he was toin tanat avad. I don't care if he was toin tanat ganav. Rav wouldn't have argued with the pasuk, now would he? I mean, if Rav said that he doesn't pay, then how did Rav understand the pasuk that says vehitvada, and that then vehitvada he pays keren chomesh va'asham? Okay, so what did you think? Rav wasn't referring to a case where the guy now made a shvua and was moda. Of course, by shvua keren v'chomesh. Furthermore, even if he wasn't moda, but the original taina was toin tanat ganav, and edim come, and he wasn't moda. Also, was Rav arguing with the pasuk? The pasuk says that he pays kefal. Does kefal include keren? I mean, come on, man. So obviously Rav wasn't referring to that case either. The only case that Rav could have been referring to was a case where he was not toin tanat ganav, so there was no kefal. He was toin tanat avad. He was toin tanat anas, whatever, right? And now, he wasn't moda. So then that pasuk also doesn't kick in. What's left? The edim. Ah, Rav is saying in that case he doesn't pay. That's all. So kika amar Rav. The only case that Rav was referring to, of course, is kigon shetoin tanat avad. And he was nishba and he wasn't moda. And then bo edim. And that's the only case out of these three cases where you'd have anything to ask on Rav. Also Rav Gamta. So Rav Gamta went and said over this whole discussion to Rav Ashi. And Rav Ashi was really upset at Rav. Because Rava basically has explained away all of the kashas on Rav with one fell swoop. Rav was never referring to the cases mentioned in the pasuk. And that infuriated Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said, you know, you're such a smarty. Rav Amnuna was a Talmud of Rav. You didn't learn by Rav. Rav Amnuna was the one who asked the kasha from the case of Ishbi'al of Chamesh Pa'amim, right? And over there, Rav Amnuna, who knew what Rav said, he was the one who asked the kasha and said, well, how would he be chayav if he was meida? If he was meida, Rav said he would be potter. So he, who listened to Rav and knew what Rav said, thought it was a problem and that Rav had said even if he was meida. But you, who never learned by Rav, you have it all worked out. Because in your mind, theoretically, Rav never said meida. I mean, I like that academic approach, which takes nothing into consideration about the facts. Rav Amnuna was there, and he knew what Rav was talking about, okay? So, hashtu ma Rav Amnuna, talmide de Rav, v'yada di omar Rav hoda. He knew that Rav was referring even to a case where a guy was moda. And he asks from a case where a guy takes multiple shvuas, and Rav Shimon had explained that the reason you'd be chayav on multiple shvuas was because you could have been moda. But you, Rav, have it all worked out now, don't you? Va'at amret hoda. No, I'm a Rav. Nah. Rav never said a case by moda. Amalei Ravacha sablu Ravashi. I'm really sorry to tell you, but Rav is absolutely right. You don't understand what Rav Amnuna was saying. I might have said, what do you think? Do you think that Rav Amnuna believed that Rav was talking about, even in a case where it says beferish in the pasuk, that he's going to pay? That Rav was saying he's not going to pay? Does he pay Karen, Asham, and the Chomesh? You don't understand what Rav Amnuna was asking. Rav Amnuna hachikah kashalei. Rav Amnuna was asking like this. Look, he says, this business of Rabbi Shimon's explanation, he could have been moda. Please. I mean, Iyamit Bishlema, Nishbaki Atu Edim Mechayev. If we would disagree with Rav, and we would say that even after he made the first Shavua, if Edim would have shown up, he would have had to pay the keren. So then that means that there still exists a theoretical Chiyev of a carbon Shavua for the second Shavua. Why? Because this is not the same shvua. Obviously, a shvua is not chal on another shvua. So you can't just make five shvuas. Five shvuas equals one shvua. Okay. So how could this be a different shvua? The only way that it could be a different shvua is because if Aden had come and had dealt with the first event, he would now have been able to be kofer once again and say, but I paid that. So okay, so then you've got a separate shvuas. But don't try to tell me that just because he could have been moda, because on this case I say, because he could have been chozer a moda, okay, but that's because had Edim come, he really would have been chayek. If Edim would have shown up, he would have been potter. Explain to me, if Edim would have come, he would have been potter, right? But we're going to say that, well, if Edim would have come, he would be potter, but if he himself says that he's potter, then he's chayek. What? Does that make sense to you? Because he could have been moda, but he wasn't moda. So you're going to tell me that even on something where Edim could have come and would have been mechayev him, and he would have not have to pay. If he himself denies it when the Edom don't come, then he does have to pay. That is mad. That is completely mad. That's what Rav Amnon was saying. You honestly believe that had the witnesses told us that he was chayev, he would not be chayev. But we could come and be mechayev and mekarben on a shvua that claimed he was potter because he might have been moda and been mechayev himself, but he wasn't moda. So what good is that? So there exists no enforceable monetary chayev at this moment, according to Rav. If there's no enforceable monetary chiyuv, how the heck could you possibly make a shvuah on something that doesn't exist? Because it might have come into existence if you had been moda when you hadn't been moda. That's what Rav Abdullah was asking. In which case, Rav is completely correct. Rav is saying Rav never spoke about hodah. That's true. All he's saying is, what good is moda? He wasn't moda yet. I want to add that even though the Pasuk only spoke about atoning to anat, ganav, pain, kefal. However, the theory of this thing works as follows. Somebody who imagines a ganav, and that ganav is himself. The Torah is defining him as a ganav. Now, just like if a ganav goes out and does tvichu mechira, yischayev tashlumi arba v'chamisha. If an imaginary ganav does tvichu mechira, and the tvichu mechira is not imaginary, then the imaginary ganav is going to be paying arba v'chamisha, because the Torah is treating that imagination as reality. Okay, by the way, there's stunning, stunning structural issues in the Parsha that clarify that so marvelously. Because if you take a look at the Parsha, the Seder of the Parsha is insane. It puts this together with the case of seduction, in which now he's going to have to pay for the non-existent ketuvah. But it's the same exact reason. If you act as if you're a husband when you aren't a husband, you are a husband. Pay what the husband pays. There's a whole list of things that are only explained by making yourself something that you aren't. And then the Torah treats you as if you are, again and again and again. Put yourself in the position of the Baalim, we treat you as the Baalim. You're a Shoel, you become the Baalim. You suffer the onus. You're a Gaza, pay for the onus. You're a rapist, pay for the husband. You're a seducer, pay his husband. You're a Doiganas Ganav, you are the Ganav, pay as the Ganav. Right? So it's a whole construct that the Torah gives you when you take the place of something that might have been. So therefore, I say, we could be the diet from the pasuk that a toin ta'anat ganav pays not only kefal, but actually, if he was tavach u'malchar, he would pay arba v'chamisha. Why? Well, because all of the ganav mishal tashulei kefal. And a toin ta'anat ganav is mishal tashulei kefal. So too, if a ganav who's mishalim kefal was tavach u'malchar, the kefal suddenly blossoms into tashulei arba v'chamisha. Just as he would be Mishal Tashlumei Kefa, if he's Tavachu Machar, the Tashlumei Kefa blossoms into Tashlum Arba V'Chamisha. Now the Gemara assumed that this was a simple logical deduction, which was a Mamatzinu. Now, just as we find that a real Ganav pays Arba V'Chamisha, so too a pretend Ganav pays Arba V'Chamisha, right? That's what we thought. Says the Gemara, but if you're talking only about a mametzina, then I can show you a difference between them. Because balaganav, look, ganav pays kefal without a shvua. But a toita not ganav, he doesn't pay kefal unless he made a shvua. All the cases we've been talking about is by making the shvua, he turns himself into the toita not ganav, but not just for the kvira. So obviously, the tvichu mechira, which is done without a shvua, has nothing to do with the shvua. Who's to say that would be Mechayev? Amre, no. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't saying that it's just a mametzino. Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's a hekesh. The Torah compares ganav to to'in ta'anat ganav, because we have two psukim, if you recall. One of them was by ganav, one of them is by to'in ta'anat ganav. So that's a hekesh. Yes, excuse me, but you may recall that there was also Mandi Omer who said that both psukim were referring to to'in ta'anat ganav. Remember that whole sugya, and that ganav is learned from a third psuk, correct? So now, you're saying it's a hekesh for imeshim and alakesha. But heini, l'mandi yom echad b'ganav, echad between tana ganav, you're right. There's two psukim, one up against the other. One referring to ganav, one referring to im, to anat ganav. Very true. But how about, according to the other mandi yom, who says both the pasuk, im yimatzei ha-ganav, and the other one, im lo yimatzei ha-ganav, but rather he is the ganav, are both referring to the case of toin tana ganav. So hai l'mandi yom, hai im yimatzei ha-ganav, and Both of them are referring to Toynta and Atganav. And Ganav Atzmo is learnt from a third pasuk. So then, Tavarba Toynta and Atganav, where's the Hekesh? Ma'ekel Amimar. All you have is a Mamatzino. But the Mamatzino is not valuable here because you can't compare a case where the Chiyav of Kefa comes through a Shua to a case where the Chiyav of Kefa comes from the act. Ooh, that's true. Ah, but there's an answer. The truth is that Ganav HaGanav, the Torah adds Imi Yubatsei HaGanav to refer to an actual case of Geneva, to compare Ganav to the pretend Ganav. So there is a Hekesh. Itver Chibarava L'Rabbi Yochanan. Chibarava asks Rabbi Yochanan from the following case. The guy says, where's my shor? Oh, your shor? Terrible news. It was stolen. Nignav. Mashbiya B'chani. Amen. Aydim Me'idim Oto Sh'achlo. Here the Eidim say, yeah, it's in his tummy. Now, how did it get in his tummy if he didn't shecht it and eat it? But that's chichul mechira. So then it says only yipes kefa. How did he eat that meat? He must have shechted it. So why doesn't he pay tashlumei arba v'chamisha? Katani mishal tashlumei kefa. Tashlumei kefa lin. Tashlumei arba v'chamisha lo. Well, I mean, this guy's not all that religious, is he? In maybe he ate it at McDonald's. Well, why did Rabbi Yochanan say he ate it as a nevela and that's really dirty? He could have said it was a treifa, no? That it would be a shkita sheder ruuya. So it wouldn't be chayav on tzvichu mechira. Ah, that's because he must have told Rabbi Meir. Well, shkita sheder ruuya is anyway, it's called a shkita. So if he ate it as a nevela, okay. But if he shechted it, even if it's not a kosher shkita because it was a treifa, he'd still have to pay harbav chavishas. Couldn't use that. Wait. But he could have always said, this animal is kosher without shechita. The mother was shechted. It's a very religious ganav. As most ganav. And he... Gosh, I'm really, my voice is gone completely. So he could have said, it's referring to an embryo that's viable, that was found inside of the uterus of a mother that was shechted. And then you can eat that ben bakua without shechita. So why did he? I mean, he could have made the guy very religious. No, it must be that he also Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says a ben bekua also requires shkita. But wait, why didn't he simply say that he was already in Beit Din? Kegon shamad Beit Din. And the Beit Din paskened and said to him, say, tenlo, give him now the pikadon that you owe him. Because Rava said that the moment that you say in court, give it to him, and he goes now and he does tvichu mechira, he's potter. Why? Because he's no longer a ganav, he's a gazlan. He's standing up openly against a psak halacha in court, right? So that would be the simplest answer. He stole it originally with the toitan at ganav. He came into court. The court says, we know that you have it, give it to him. He says, like hell I will, and he goes and he shechts it. So then he's chayef kevel. Given the paskil milte v'tavachum lachar, have a gazlan. A gazlan doesn't pay tashlumei arba v'chamisha. If the court said only that chayav atalite, they didn't say go give it to him. They just issued not a sentence but a psak. Well, you're responsible, but they didn't say now go out and give it to him. Then einachinan, if he was tavachum lachar, he's still the ganav that he always was. So there he would be chayav. My time of kokamidul psikalei milta, if they haven't issued an actual demand for payment, he remains a ganav from before. So why don't we say that Rabbi Yochanan could have said that difference must be he doesn't believe it? No, no, that's not why. Because what do you think? That Rabbi Yochanan was coming to address every possible answer, is that what you're saying? I mean, there would have been the obvious, simplest answer that there is no arguing about. And that is, this ganav was a shutaf. If he's a shutaf, there's no din of arba v'chamisha, because it's only arba bakar and not arba chamisha bakar, not chamisha chatzei bakar. Rabbi Yochanan obviously could have said that. Okay, so don't bring me a riot from what Rabbi Yochanan says or doesn't say. So l'taymeh lishnele b'shutaf shetavach shelo midat chaviro. Clearly, Rabbi Yochanan was saying one out of who knows how many cases, and maybe there were two other possibilities, three other possibilities. Don't start bringing me proofs about what Rabbi Yochanan knows about the other possibilities. Furthermore, said Rabbi Barabba and Rabbi Yochanan, this din of Toynta Anat Ganav is even true about an Aveda, not only about a Pikadon. A Toynta Anat Ganav Ba'Aveda is also Mishalim, Tashlumei Kefa. You know why? Because the Torah says, I'll call Dvar Pesha, I'll call Aveda. There you go. So the Torah is saying, an Aveda is like any other Pikadon. I don't understand. If that's true, How do we have a psak that says that if a katan gives a pikadon and there is tovea, that there is no din of mishalim tashlum hakefer? Why? Because it says ki yitain ish el re'eu chamor oshar, and so on. And we darshan from there that ein netinat katan klum. Now, the brayta continues up to say eli ella shenatano kashu katan v'tav oshu katan. You might think that this is only if he takes it to court as a katan, not only that he gave it to him as a katan. How about if he gave it to him while he was a katan? And only after he became a gadol does he take it to court. How do we know that even in that case, you would not have to pay kefa? Talmud lomar, ad ha-Elohim yavod var shnehem, compares both the netina and the tviya. They have to be shavim ke'echat. So that means that if you have a katan that gives it, means we do not make a shvua on a tana of a katan. And if you did, it's not a shvua that the Torah is b'chayev you kefal for. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, you say that if you found a parah walking down the street, you would still be b'sham tashlumei kefal. A katan's giving it to you can't be worse than finding a parah walking down the street, right? So the katan can basically say, okay, forget about the fact that I was a katan when I gave you this parah. You found the parah, okay? Give it back. He's now a goat. Give it back. Is that going to be less than the aveda? That's an absurdity. That's what I don't understand. So let's take a look at it inside. Ve'im ita, if you were right, can't be less than an aveda. To have an avi ka'avida, Amalei, he's talking about. Hokamayaskina, kigon sha'achalo, mishukatan. Here, he stole it before the kid grew up. That's what he's talking about. If the guy ate the pikadon of the kata while he was still a kata, that means that this pikadon was never included in the din of Tvein Tanat Ganav. Mashenkin the Aveda, at the time that he picks up the Aveda, since it had an owner, had they asked him for it back, he would have had to pay. Mamela, there's a difference. Okay, that's what you're saying? Avakashu gadomai, what would be the case if he ate it after the kid grew up? Hachin Aveda Mishalim, it would be no different than an Aveda. So then, Iachi, Adatana Achtenitina Vitviya Shavin Kechad, why then did we learn in the Brayta that the giving of the pikadon and the tviyah in court for the pikadon both have to be done as a gadol, kishur gadol? It's not true. It should have simply said, achite achila utviyah shavim ke. According to what you're saying, all you need to say is that at the time that you ate it, meaning that it was not yet in the sense of an avidah, they need to be ke'echad. They need to have a gadol. But why does it say that it was given? The giving is nothing, because you hold even if it wasn't given and you just found it, the din would be that you would pay. Amalei, okay, say that. Tni, achte achila utvi'a shavim ke'achad. Okay, makes you happy. Ravashi says enough. It doesn't make him happy. There's no, your question is not true. The question is all based on an assumption that the giving of a cotton can't be worse than a finding it in the street. But that's not so. It can. It's lo dami, because an aveda, at the moment that you get it into your hands and you become chayev for it, it's coming from the keach of a ben dat. She didn't give it to you. But at that moment, it was owned by a ben dat who could have been tovea you. But the katan, at the moment that he gave it to you, there was no keach of a ben dat to be tovea. And therefore, what you thought was absurd is not absurd at all. The truth is that the giving of a katan is less machayev than finding it as an eveda. Aha, load yavikoch ben dat.